Man. April 19th. I think it's a good day for us to take a time and just like reflect a little bit on so many things, but you know, what are some of your memories from April 19th?
You know, so April 19th, we were still living in Pennsylvania. When I heard about it, I think I was at church, and somebody said that there was a bomb that happened in Oklahoma, which we were about to move there, and everybody knew in our church in Pennsylvania, like small town, Hickville, Pennsylvania, guys. And everybody knew we were moving to Oklahoma, and they're like all scared because, yeah, and all these people are scared about it. So I remember that was the first introduction to recognizing that there was a bigger world out there. And then within, I think, 3 months, we were living in Oklahoma. And again, it was a incredible time to be part of Oklahoma, just because that was the most I have ever seen anybody just embrace people coming in. And it was a beautiful thing. So it's no wonder why my parents visited Oklahoma, fell in love with Oklahoma and the people. And even though there was a bombing that happened, it didn't deter them from moving to Oklahoma, because it's such a special place. And, you know, we found all of our wives in Oklahoma. So I feel like I say wives, all of our wives, like plural, but I'm saying I have three brothers. Mark is one of the three brothers, and all of our wives are from Oklahoma. So, you know, I'm just glad that we did. And we've had the privilege to go to the memorial many times in Oklahoma City. It is a very powerful place, very, very powerful to see how many lives were impacted. A childcare service was right next to the building. So many lives were impacted in such a negative way in a matter of minutes. And it's just a sad thing.
You know, one of our friends hit us up in the comment section and said he's going to be traveling in town from Joplin to see
Joplin, yeah, man.
Game one. So shout out to Thunder Up. I forget exactly your name, but it's okay. I know who you are. But yeah, if you get a chance, anytime anybody who's out there who comes in town for Oklahoma City Thunder games, like, you can drive by the reflective pool. You can check out the memorial very easily, very quickly. There's usually no traffic, and you'll be fine. Like, it's worth it. It's one of those things that Sam Presti makes sure that everybody, not just players, but everybody within the entire organization gets a specific tour. It's not like, I've been here 10 times before. You know, I saw Royce Young when he joined the Thunder, you know, front office or whatever role he has in the media there. He took the tour also with the new players, the rookies. And I found that really interesting, because I'm sure Royce has gone through that tour over and over and over again before, at least been to the memorial plenty of times. So to see that be a part of the initiation of what it means to be a part of the Thunder, it means a lot that Sam Presti recognizes that. And it's really important. I think it's important for fans who maybe are unfamiliar with it to learn a little bit about it, and to understand what it really means to this community for healing and for growth, and really to come from something like that, where a lot of people, it was their first, you know, exposure to the city of Oklahoma City, to go from like such a place of pain to where we are now, where people celebrate what they see coming from Oklahoma City in a different way than we could ever imagine in 1995. So, you know, what, 20 years now? I'm sorry, 30 years now almost. You know, we're coming up on the 30th anniversary of the bombing next year. So things have changed in an incalculable way, and it's pretty amazing to be a part of this transition and watch the Thunder once again take, you know, the whole world by storm, because what we're seeing is pretty special.
I just got those warm, fuzzy feelings, bro, because I just put it together, man. The fact that 29 years ago is when it happened, that means that there's only two players on this team that were alive when it happened. And yet Sam Presti is still making sure that everybody has an opportunity to understand what Oklahoma is still about. And that to me is the greatest thing, man. Like, two players on our team were alive during it. Everybody else wasn't. Even those players that were alive were pretty freaking young. They probably don't even have any memory of it. So for me, again, it just shows you the heart of who Sam Presti is, the heart of the organization, what it means to be part of Oklahoma. And that's what these guys are buying into, because they're not just coming in and being like, okay, we're part of the team. No, they're buying houses. They're starting their families. They're having kids. And it's all based in Oklahoma. And it's a family environment. And it's just beautiful that Sam Presti makes sure that happens.
And that, I mean, that's the basis of what it means to be a part of the Thunder, about part of the community of Oklahoma City. Then you can start building other things on top of that. Like, we love talking about basketball, but you know, it has its place, and that's what I appreciate so much about what Presti does there. But you know, we're on the verge of finding out tonight who we're going to be playing.
Yes.
As the number one seed, you don't get to know who you're playing until the last possible minute. So what I'm assuming is that we're going to see a series against the Kings. I do not think the Pelicans are going to be able to pull this off. All right.
Is that a challenge?
I think so. I think, look, Ingram is going to have to come in and be like he had no rust, and Zion's not there. Yeah, dude, I think this is – the Pelicans will be three times into the playing game and out.
If there was a team that could upset the Kings, it's the Pelicans. And that's what I'm looking at. Even though they're not going to be healthy or not, they're used to not having Zion there. They can adapt very well. And whenever Zion's not there, Brandon Ingram plays way better anyways. He's almost an all-star when Zion's not there. So I'm looking at it like this, and
when
I'm saying,
when he's healthy, but when he's not.
True, true. And CJ, to me, like, his game is all based on the shot, you know, and getting to that mid-range. So I'm looking at this and I'm saying, it's going to be a battle tonight. And I'm excited because either way, we get to play a team that I think we get to crush. So
I even could see, honestly, being something fascinating. And I know nobody's going to like me saying this, but say it's the Kings, like I keep thinking, and they just came off of a win, or either team who it is, they just came off of a win. Right. And so they have this momentum coming in, and we've been waiting. I could see them stealing game one and us running off the next four. But could you imagine if the playing team came in and stole game one on our home court? What would happen on ESPN? Like, Shannon Sharpe's head would explode, bro.
This is why I hate the negative media. Like, to me, it's not about game one. It's about every game after that. And is this team going to lose some games during the playoffs that they should win? Absolutely. Do I think it's going to happen game one? God, I hope not. But you know what? It could happen. So game one, I think you're going to understand, is Oklahoma City is going to be Loud City again. And at game one, it's going to cause this ripple effect. And we saw what happened with Shea, you know, last game of the, you know, second to last game, whatever it was, where he dropped 40 points, you know, like, he gets amped up, man. And this team's been playing at home, and they've been at home for the last 2 weeks now, almost, you know, think about that. They had the last three games or four games at home. They've been at home for a long time. They're settled in. They've had a ton of practice time. It's only going to make them better. It's only going to make this team stronger. And whether they lose game one or not, it doesn't matter in the outcome of the series. I think if they want to play with their food before they eat it, like I've said before, then they're going to see how it goes. But I don't. Pelicans, Kings, there's too many holes in their games, and we've proven that we can pick it out really, really easily.
Yo, I remember when, I can't remember this, but I've heard the story quite a bit. Moses Malone was at a press conference right before the Sixers went into the playoffs. And he was asked what the Sixers needed to do to win the playoffs, or win the championship. And he said, we need to win four games, and then we need to win four games, and then we need to win four games. Actually, I think there was one last series. So it was a 4-4-4 Sixers, right? And they didn't sweep each series, but they did go on to win the finals that year. And they were always known as the 4-4-4 Sixers. And we're kind of at the same spot right now. I get it. Like, a lot of people want to stack us up against whatever, and they want to look at it, but we got to win four games. When we advance, we got to win four more. After we take care of business there, we got four more to win. And when we get done with that, we got four to a ring. And I get a lot of people will say, oh, that's not going to happen. But just watch what happens, man. Like, we've seen now the Team USA hand out their jerseys or whatever and all that go on, but watch what happens. How many of those players that got a jersey are going to be healthy for the Olympics or for training camp? How many of them, their bodies are going to break down between now and the end of the playoffs? And I understand that it's like, well, the best players in the world are like Jokic and he's not, you know, US player or whatever. But like, I'm just really curious. Like, you've got a wide range of expectations, but if everybody has the perfect situation, right, then yeah, maybe the Thunder, it's not the Thunder's year. But my question is, what if everybody's playing a little bit off of what their perfect situation is, right? And if that's the situation, then we're just looking at 4-4-4-4. And that's all we got to focus on.
I like it, dude. And if we're looking at it like that, then it becomes a whole lot easier, because if you look at the season and every single series, a 7-game series, which I wouldn't be surprised if the Thunder brass is looking at it like that. Dude, we've won every single series. I mean, think about that. In a 7-game series, in a 7-game time period, we haven't lost 4 games. You know, people say, well, this team's not playoff ready. Well, if this team is looking at every single 7 games as a 7-game series, and their goal is to win 4 games every single time, then we've been playing this game all season long. And it's just going to carry off into the playoffs now. But that's how well this team has played all season, is that every seven games we've won in a series. We've won four of the, we've won, I think, once that we've lost like 3 of the 4 or 3 of the 7. You know, like, that's just the thing, is like, this team is so ready to go, man. And it's so tuned in. So when people are saying, and we're going to hear a lot of this a lot, guys, this team needs this, or this team's not ready, they need this, this team has to have this player, it's all going to come, right? Your goal and your job as a super fan of the Thunder is what? Ignore the bullshit. And guess what? Everybody's going to be a fucking dildo. Just don't be that dildo.
Don't be that dildo. Yo, I want to read a quick comment from our good friend Robert Ridley, 6966. So I have a confession, fellas. I'm sure you remember this. When I was first started watching you guys, I was searching for fans as passionate and tuned into the game, turned on by the game, to this team's culture and chemistry, brotherhood, maturity, when it matters, etc. All my friends and family, besides my big sis here on the 405, have been hating on Giddy since day one. I've been an advocate and believer in Giddy once I found out we were going to draft him at 6 in 21. My Giddy rookie card collection will back me up. I'd love to see pictures, so feel free to send those over. Regardless, I'm pumped when I found your pod in 2021. I'm also a born-again Christian. Sorry about that. And when you guys came out singing Sam Smith's Unholy, that was Dave, but it's okay. I'll take credit for it too, because I like that song.
I like to dance, so what can I say?
He lashed out in disappointment to you guys calling y'all and that song an abomination and a poor representation of the city, which we've never claimed to be good representation, but I appreciate it. I'll keep going. Sorry about that. That wasn't good. Christ-like of me, and I was wrong for that. And I was wrong about you guys. Not the song. It is an abomination. You guys, you both see and have seen exactly what I've been saying to anyone who will listen about this special team. Anyway, please forgive me and my shortcomings, and thunder the fuck up. SGA equals MVP. And listen, Robert.
Yes, Robert.
No, no apology needed. We forgave you a long time ago. We love you. We understand. But there was a weird time where we were trying to get outside of our shell, and we were like, we should just be ourselves. And that was Dave's idea of being himself. But there was a time where he recited a whole self-written poem beginning of the episode called Penis Weenus. And that was Weenus also part of Dave finding a way to be himself. So I'm like, oh my God, bro. Like, look, we are an abomination. I know you didn't say we are, but I do believe we are, simply because we grew up Christians and we both decided to, I would just say, think for ourselves. And I'm not saying you don't or anybody doesn't, but I'm just saying we've chosen our own path. And I'm happy for your path. And maybe some people out there can be happy for our path, but I'm not. Anyway, Dave, you got a lot to say about that. Go ahead.
I you know, like, you can control people all you want. And then when you're looking back, you'll be standing on a mountaintop all year by yourself. So whatever you do, just don't be that controlling person where your friends are only Christians, because you can't have non-first Christian friends. So we appreciate you, Robert. We appreciate you're one of our friends, and we're appreciative of the fact that, you know, you're still a born again Christian. And that's something that Mark and I, we do take very serious when people tell us that, because we know exactly what that means and what type of sacrifice you have to live for that. So we respect the hell out of you, respect the hell out of your belief. And we'll try to keep it. Nah, I can't say that, because we're never going to keep it clean, because look, that's just the way we roll.
We'll try to keep it R-rated, and we'll avoid the NC-17 content if we can.
And I will keep my clothes on. I promise you that, all right, man?
Unless we win a championship. I hate to do this now.
I mean, it's all about that.
I got to bounce early, because right, we got a lot going on today. So I appreciate everybody joining us. We'll see you guys next time.